You know, if I wasn't saved today, I wouldn't wait one more hour to get saved, Brother Carl. We're living in hard, tough, and what the Bible calls the last days. I don't believe I'd wait one more day to get saved. So I pray today that before you walk out of this place, that beautiful name that we just sung about can come to live on the inside of your heart today. And boy, what a joy that would be to see somebody get saved today. So that's our prayer. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to go to Romans chapter number 5. The book of Romans, chapter number 5. This week, a lot of you have been watching the news. It's a sad sight to see, isn't it? So as we've kind of been watching it, I try not to watch it as much as I can because it'll get you down and discouraged in about 2 seconds, right? But I begin thinking about this topic that I want to preach to you today. The problem of humanity. What is the matter with humans? The problem of humanity. Find your place in verse number 12. And we will read just a few verses here in Romans chapter 5. Of course, this is the Apostle Paul talking. He begins in verse 12, and the Bible says this: "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come." Let's skip down to verse 17. "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound." Here we go. "But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." Father, we do thank You for Your Word this morning, and I pray that You would use it, God, to open our hearts, use it to encourage us, to enlighten us, and God, to just equip us to be the people You want us to be. Lord, bless it today. Open our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Now this ought to get a real good amen to start the message. What in the world is wrong with our world? There's something incredibly wrong with the world in which we live in. I mean, it's the year 2020 and blacks and whites still hate each other. It's the year 2020 and apparently now it's okay to break in, to burn stuff down, and to steal everything that's in the store. So apparently the laws of breaking and entering, of stealing and of arson just don't apply anymore. There's something incredibly wrong with our world. And I'm not just talking about Minnesota and California and all these places. I'm talking about right here in North Carolina. There's stuff wrong in North Carolina. Did you know at least 5 people in Lincoln and Gaston County this week died of a drug overdose? It's 2020 and people are still dying from drug overdose. It's 2020, people are still dying from being alcoholics. It's 2020 and wars are still happening all across our world. It hasn't stopped from the time we've been alive. There's an obvious problem in our world today. Amen? You know, in my lifetime, from the time I can remember till about I was 7 years old, there was always a politician, a governor, that when they're trying to get elected, their main thing is, we're going to fix the problems in this world. And you know what? They never have. Would you like to know why? Because of this. The things that I just mentioned to you is not the problem in our world. Can I tell you, in our world, we don't have a racial problem, we don't have a political problem, we don't have a war problem, we don't have a drug problem, an alcohol problem. Let's get to the bottom of the thing here. The problem in our world is a sin problem. Amen. That's what the Bible says. There is a sin problem in our world. And now you talk about the coronavirus, we've talked about it enough. But if you look it up, they'll tell you that it's reached 213 countries around the world. Now, I didn't even know there were 213 countries. But that's a lot. It spread a lot. Let me say this. The disease of sin has spread a whole lot further than that. Can I tell you, the disease of sin has not only reached 213 countries, it's reached every single country. And not just every single country, it's reached every single last person in those countries. There's not a person walking on planet Earth right now that has not been infected by the disease called sin. Not one person on planet Earth right now has not been infected by sin. You know, when all the coronavirus stuff started, we had to ask, where did it come from? We had to ask, how in the world did it spread so rapidly across the world? And of course, we know China is where it started. I might get some of you mad. But anyway, amen. If we're looking at the disease of sin, we kind of have to ask the same questions. Where did it start? Where did it come from? And how in the world does it spread so rapidly to every single person on planet Earth? You ever thought about that? We think about all the time how this virus spreads, but how in the world does this disease called sin spread to not just half the population, and 100% of the population is infected by this disease called sin? You have to ask the question, how does it spread so rapidly like that? And that's kind of what we're going to talk about today, is the problem with humanity. Because the verses that I just read to you kind of answers that question for us this morning. But before we get into the text, let's understand the context of the Scripture. The book of Romans is Paul's fullest theological exposition on salvation in all 13 of his letters. And the opening two chapters of Romans are very popular because he declares our problem. He says humanity has a problem, and here's the problem. There is none righteous, no, not one. That's what the Bible says. There is none righteous, no, not one. Johnny, that's a problem. You say, why is that a problem? Because in order to reach a holy God, you have to be righteous. God does not accept anything less than righteous. And if we're anything less than that, we're unacceptable to God. And the Bible says, because we're all unrighteous, we're all unacceptable to a holy God. So the question of humanity is, how do we become righteous? And Paul says it's one way. Through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way to become righteous. That's what salvation is all about. Putting your trust in a man named Jesus. And God makes you righteous in that moment. See, how in the world can you just put your trust in Jesus and God just transforms you and makes you from an unrighteous person to a righteous person? I want you to listen. It's a doctrine called imputation. All right? I want you to remember that word. Imputation. Let me explain it to you, Johnny. If I have $2 in my bank account, and let's say you got $500 in your bank account. If Johnny were to take out $500 from his account and pass it on to me, I would now have $502. That's imputation. That is somebody taking what they have and putting it to your account. See, when you and I are born into this world as sinners, we have 0% righteousness in our account. But you see, when we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, God takes Christ's righteousness and says, let's now put 100% in your account. That's the doctrine of imputation. The Bible says that He became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So what happened was Jesus became zero so we could become 100. That's what happened on the cross. He took our sin so we could become righteous. It's a doctrine called imputation. And I want you to understand that this morning because that's what Romans chapter number 5 is all about. And when Paul brought that up, he's saying, listen, that's what salvation is all about. You put your faith in Christ and God makes you righteous. And then he'll have some opponents come up and say, no, there's no way, Paul. Paul, there is no way one man could be perfect and everybody could be rewarded for it. That's not fair. How is it fair that one man could be perfect and then everybody else is just rewarded for it? And Paul gets into Romans 5. This is where we pick up. And Paul says, because it works the same exact way. Because one man in the Garden of Eden sinned and essentially everybody was punished for it. Therefore, one man came along, and now we can be rewarded for it. That's what we'll talk about today. Because in our text, it lies the problem of humanity. And you can listen to the news all you want to, but you need to be, I've told you before, you need to be in the Bible more than you need to be in the news. Because the news will tell you what the problem is. The Bible tells you what the real problem is. And the real problem is the problem of sin. So let's get into it this morning. I'll give you 3 points and I'll be done. We need to look at these questions. The origin of sin is found in verse number 12. As by one man, sin entered into the world. There you go. Now the question we have to ask ourselves is this. Has sin and death always been here? Has it always been here? Because the science people will tell you it has been. The evolutionists will tell you it's always been here, that death has just always been natural in the world. That's just how the world in which we live is. Everything dies and it's always been that way. But the Bible tells you it has not always been that way. Because if it has always been there, if there's always been sin, if there's always been death, I want you to think about what that means. That means God created it. If there's always been sin and death, that means God created it. But we know God did not create sin. God did not create death. You know what God created? A perfect world. God created a perfect world. He created Adam and Eve and placed them in a perfect environment called the Garden of Eden. And by the way, He looked at it on the sixth day and said, "That's very good." Amen. What God makes is very good. And that's what God created. God didn't create what you see today. That is the creation of us. God created a perfect world. So Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, there's no sin and there's no death. There's only 4 chapters in the Bible where you won't find sin and death. Genesis 1 and 2 and Revelation 21 and 22. Because it's done away with in Revelation 21. 22. But if it wasn't there in Genesis 1 and 2, you say, well, where did it come from? All you got to do is flip the page. And you'll find it in Genesis chapter number 3. Now, you all heard the story growing up in Sunday school. God created the first couple, Adam and Eve. He gave them 2 commandments. Pretty simple, to be honest with you. He said, you can have every single tree in this garden. All of them are beautiful. They're all good to eat. And you can have every single one of them if you like. But the word but came in, didn't it? He said, but of the tree in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that you eat thereof, you will surely die. Now, let me give you some deep exposition on what those verses mean. When God says, thou shalt not, I mean, we get deep into it here. You ready? What does it mean when God says, thou shalt not? Thou shalt not. That's deep, isn't it? When God says, thou shalt not, it means thou shalt not. But in comes the serpent, right? And the first lie, Jesus called him the father of lies because he's the first one that ever told a lie. He said, you won't surely die. That's exactly what he said. God said, you will surely die. And the devil said, you won't die. So somebody's telling a lie. Adam and Eve, of course, you know, ate of the fruit of the tree. And can I tell you, at that very moment in Genesis chapter number 3, the whole world changed forever. Right there in that moment, everything changed. Before that, everything was perfect. But that in Genesis 3 is when sin entered the world. But I want you to listen to this. Not only in that moment did they commit sin, in that moment they became sinners. They became sinners. See, their eyes were opened, and when they used to fellowship with God, now they're running away from God. You notice everything changed. But listen, not only did it affect them, it affected everything in this world. Sin does not just affect humans, it affects everything. God said it would affect the plants that we grow. Come look at our garden and see that it doesn't affect that. There's thorns growing up now. That wasn't supposed to happen. The Bible says that animals were supposed to be subject to us. Now some animals would kill us if they had the opportunity. And the Bible says creation was to be perfect, but now you see the weather is harsh on people. Hurricanes, tornadoes, tsunamis kill people every single year. Sin affected everything. It was never supposed to be like this. But sin affected everything. And guess what? Most people will say, if you study it from a biblical perspective, the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned, was about 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 years ago. Isn't it amazing that something that happened that long ago is still impacting us every single day today? Now, we can see that. Remember 9/11, 2001? Isn't that still making an impact on us today? Go to the airport, you'll see that. But something 7,000, 8,000, maybe 10,000 years ago is still affecting us? That's why I can't believe when people stand up and say there's nothing wrong with sin. There's nothing wrong. Yeah, we can be forgiven of it, but can I tell you, sin makes a great impact on everything. It always has. And it always will. Sin always produces death. That is the origin of sin. Adam sinned, and it passed on throughout the world. The next thing that I want you to see is number two, something called original sin. You say, well, what's the problem with humanity? You just told me the problem with Adam. How does that make humans have a problem? Because that very sin in the Garden of Eden was now passed on to every single person. And that is called original sin. Remember, the penalty for Adam's sin was death. And look, that disease of death didn't stay cooped up in the Garden of Eden. It kept on passing down to everybody. That verse 12 says, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. It's still making an impact today, isn't it? Because everybody dies. How many of you have been to a funeral home lately? Raise your hand. It's still making an impact every single day because of that. You say, sin is making an impact on us, obviously. But did you know sin is making an impact on our unborn child right now? Did you know that? You say, how is that? Let me explain. Let's say two horses get together. Is it possible for two horses to produce a duck? If you say yes, we'll take you to the hospital after this. Is it possible for two little ducks to get together and produce a horse? No. So what does that have to do with anything? When Adam and Eve became sinners, it was therefore impossible for them to produce anything but a sinner. You get that? And by the way, me and this girl right here are sinners. Therefore, it is only possible that we could produce another sinner. It just keeps on going. Sin is passed down from generation to generation to generation to generation, and that's what original sin is all about. And since we all come from Adam and Eve, we all have the same nature that they had, a sin nature. Now, all of you probably heard of Ancestry.com, right? See the commercials for it. I don't know if you want to go on there and check who your distant relatives are and all that stuff. I don't. Because I already have relatives that I don't like. And I don't want to find out that I have more relatives that I sure ain't going to like. Right? I've got enough of my relatives right now. I don't need more. I can't tell... Amen. I can't tell you everybody that you are related to. I can't. Ancestry.com might. But I can tell you one person that you and I are all related to, and that is Adam. Every single person in here, on the face of the planet even, we come from our first parents, which was Adam and Eve. And because they had a sin nature, that sin nature is now passed on to us, and that's why it's called original sin. You say, well, what kind of an impact does original sin have on us? I want you to listen. Jeremiah 17:19 says, the heart is desperately wicked. He didn't say the heart becomes desperately wicked. He said the heart is desperately wicked. It's just that way. That's our heart. Psalm 14 says, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. You know what that original sin does to us? It makes us alter our ability to make good decisions. It affects our ability to make good decisions. How many of you have ever made a bad decision? That's because of our heart. That's because that's who we are. Our mind, Ephesians 4 says, has become now darkened in a matter that it's blind to spiritual things. We can't see spiritual things when we're born into this world because we're just natural sinners. Ephesians 2 says we are the children of wrath. Now, I don't know if you've ever studied this, but nearly every other religion besides Christianity in this world will tell you that when people are born into this world, they are good. They are inherently good. But from Genesis 3 to Revelation, that is not the topic of the Bible. The Bible says there is none good. No, not one. Isn't that a hard pill to swallow sometimes? Yeah. It doesn't say if you've been to church, gone to Sunday school all your life, you're good. It says there is none good compared to the religious people or the non-religious people. It doesn't matter which side of the spectrum you are on. You are not good. Boy, it's quiet. The Bible says we're not inherently good. We're inherently bad. And our sin nature makes an effect on every single part of our being because we come from Adam. I want you to listen to this. This is the very reason the world wants you to believe in evolution. It wants you to believe it in many ways, but this is the underlying reason. Listen. Because if you and I evolved from an ape, we don't have a sin nature. The reason we have a sin nature is because we came from Adam. If you came from an ape, you don't have a bad heart. There's really nothing inherently wrong with you. I don't know if you've ever heard the story about the little boy. He walked up to his dad and said, "Dad, where do we come from?" He said, "Well, son, Adam and Eve, God created them. They had kids. Their kids had kids. Their kids had kids. It eventually led to us. We came from Adam and Eve." He goes back to his mama in the back room and says, "Mom, where do we come from?" His mom says, "Well, son, we come from monkeys. They eventually evolved, they grew these stuff, they eventually bent up and they began to speak." And the little boy said, "Oh." Well, the boy runs back to his dad and said, "Daddy, you lied to me." He said, "Well, what are you talking about?" He said, "Well, you told me we come from Adam and Eve. Mama said we come from monkeys." And the father looks at the son and says, "That's just your mama's side of the family, son." Amen. Therein lies the reason why the world wants you to believe evolution. Because if you do believe that you came from an ape, I don't know if y'all did, but I didn't. Because if you did, you're not inherently bad. You're actually not that bad. And if you evolved from that, you don't need salvation. And that's why the very thing that's going on today, you would be amazed at how many people stand up behind a pulpit just like this in churches across America and says it doesn't matter if you believe Genesis 1 through 3 or not. It doesn't matter whether you think Adam and Eve was real or not, or if the fall of man is just a fable like the three little pigs. It doesn't matter. Can I tell you, it does matter. Listen to what an atheist said. All right, you ready? He said it's very important in this case. He said, if there's no Adam and Eve, that means there's no need for a Savior. It also means the Bible can't be trusted as a source of truth. Therefore, it is completely unreliable because it all begins with a myth. There, if the first three chapters aren't right, what makes you think the rest is right? No fall of man means no need for a Redeemer to save man. Go ahead and take out Genesis 3. You need to take out the rest of the New Testament too. Because if no Adam and Eve fell, there's no need for Christ to come and die for our sin. There's the proof right there of Genesis chapter number 3. Original sin is an essential truth to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason it's good news is because there was bad news first. That's what makes it so good. You say, "Well, I just don't believe that because of what Adam did, I'm punished for it." Let me prove this doctrine to you. I can prove it in just a few sentences. You ready? Is this statement that I'm about to say true? It's pretty easy. The reason we all die is because we've all committed sin. All right. Then if that's the truth, why do unborn babies who have never committed a sin die every day? Let me repeat that. Is this statement true? The reason we all die is because we've all committed sin. If that's the truth, why do unborn babies who have never ever committed a sin, they've never broken a Ten Commandments, why do they die every day? And here's the answer. That shows me right there, the reason I die is not because I broke a Ten Commandments. The reason babies die is not because they've broken a Ten Commandment. It's because Adam's sin has been passed on to them. Everybody understand that? The reason babies die every day, it's not because they've ever committed a sin. It's because Adam's sin has been what? Imputed to them. You say, well, hold on. I don't think it's fair that we're punished for what Adam did. Well, the Bible will tell you, you may not think it's fair that we're rewarded for what Christ did, but that's just how it is. And the fact is, the same way Adam sinned, every single one of us sin like that every day. We disobey God the same way He did. And I want you to see that. Verse 13 and 14, it teaches what I just told you. People don't die because they break the Ten Commandments. I've always believed that, Johnny. I have. Until I got to Romans chapter number 5. It says, where the law is, where there's no law, sin is not imputed. But listen to what verse 14 says. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. You say, what does that mean? I want you to listen carefully. It's a little bit confusing. But man, I'm telling you, it's so essential to us to understand the gospel. Before Moses, there was no law, right? The Ten Commandments came after Moses. There was a generation between Adam and Moses. And the Bible says every single one of them died. You know what that means? That means they didn't die because they broke a Ten Commandment. There was not a Ten Commandment. The reason they died was because Adam's sin was passed on to them. I need you to understand that. Because if you don't understand that, you won't understand the gospel in the purest form. We do not die because of what we do. We die because of who we are. Amen. We don't die because of what we do. In essence, we die because of what Adam did. Now, I'm going to get to the third point, and I'm glad that's open because I might run. Because I've just given you the bad news. But I'm so thankful that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ gives us good news. The Bible says in Romans 5, the origin of sin, it came by Adam. Original sin, we die because of Adam. But thirdly, I want to show you an overwhelming salvation in verse number 18. I want you to look at it because salvation is so good when you recognize this. Verse 18, Paul gets to it. It's after the parentheses. So he's continuing his statement from verse 12. He says, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came. That's Adam. Upon all men to condemnation. That is saying, because Adam sinned, we all die and we're all condemned. You say, well, that's not fair. We'll check out the next part. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Paul just said the reason we all die is not because of what we do, it's because of what Adam did. And in very similar fashion, I need you to listen to the gospel of the grace of God. The reason we have eternal life and the reason we live is not because of what we do, it's because of what Christ did on the cross. That's the gospel. Amen. The reason we die is because of what Adam did so many years ago, but I'm so thankful today that the reason that I live is because of what Christ did on the cross for me. Now I need you to understand that. Verse 19 says, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. When we were born into this world, Adam had 100% sin and he got passed into our account. But when Christ died on the cross, he took that sin off of our account, put it on him, and then he passed his righteousness to us. For those who trust in Him. Now, isn't that good? Man, that's what makes Christianity so good. I need you to understand that. The problem isn't what we do, it's who we are. And that's why Christ never said in the gospel, get better. Has He ever said, get better? Because that wasn't the problem. Do you know what the problem was? Our nature. And you know the only thing that can fix your birth nature is to get born again. Amen. Christ never said get better. He said get born again. And man, there's so many people today. You might be one today. You might be one listening on Facebook. And you're saying, I've been trying to get my life right. I've been trying to become a better man. I've been trying to become a better mom, a better wife, a better woman. You say, but I just can't no matter how hard I try. Well, listen what the problem might be. The problem might not be you need to get better. The problem might be you need to get born again. Because the problem isn't what we do. The problem is who we are. Can I tell you? The only thing that can change your nature, your sin nature, is to get a brand new nature. And that's what happens when you and I get born again. The Bible says God puts His nature in us. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by His mercy hath He saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. The problem is not that our world needs to get better. The problem, our world needs to get born again. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter number 5, and I'm done. Musicians, you can come. I want you to all stand with me. We die because we are related to Adam through our birth. We can't help that. But did you know we live? Because we become related to Christ through new birth. And today I'm going to ask you the most important question anybody's ever asked you. Not how long have you been coming to church. Not how long have you read the Bible. Not how long have you prayed one night. I want to ask you, has there ever been a time in your life where you got born again? Because Jesus didn't say it's something that can. He said you must. You must be born again. Again. If you're not born again, you're not His. And can I tell you today, you want to be His. So today, if the Holy Spirit has tugged your heart, I'll be right down here. And if you want to get born again, you can trust in Christ today as your Savior. Don't walk out with God dealing with your heart. Father, we thank You for this text that You've given to us, Lord, that we might know the truth, that it might set us free. And Lord, we thank You for the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Show us that it's not about what we do, it's already about what He did. And He did enough. He did it all. So Lord, I pray today that if there's just one man, one woman, one boy, or one girl in here right now, and You've knocked on the door of their heart and said, this is You that needs to get born again. I pray today that as soon as the first note plays, they'll step out of their aisle, they'll come down here and they'll trust in Christ as their Savior and they'll never regret it. Lord, we thank You so much for birthing us into Your kingdom. We love You and we praise You in Christ's name. Amen.